interesting. Good morning, everyone. We just thought we should do a quick mic check, and we're good. All right, excellent. My name is Pastor Tom Lang. I teach at St. Paul Lutheran High School down the road in Concordia, and Pastor Miller is out of town. He didn't tell me why he was out of town, but he is, and so I'm filling in for him this morning. So. That's one nice thing about, we've got a bunch of pastors there between the high school and Lutheran Bible translators and rural and small town ministry. And when other churches in the area are in a vacancy or pastor needs to go on vacation or whatever, we're able to fill in. And so I've never been here before. You have a beautiful church. And it's my pleasure to be able to be here with you this morning. See a familiar face over there. Katie plays volleyball on our team. I coach the volleyball team at St. Paul, and we had a tournament yesterday, so you probably saw more of me yesterday than you wanted to. We had that tournament for a long time yesterday. We begin with our opening hymn, hymn number 497. Our service is on page 203, Divine Service Setting 4. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We share our psalm for today, Psalm 128. And we will read this psalm responsively by half verse. Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have called your church to witness that in Christ you have reconciled us to yourself, through your resurrection giving us power over death and the grave. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may proclaim the good news of your salvation, so that all who hear it may receive the gift of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading for today is from Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels and proved to be reliable in every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers, and in the midst of the congregation I will sing your praise.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again, 'Behold, I and the children God has given me.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia in verse.
Oh,
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Pharisees came up and, in order to test Jesus, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Therefore I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall never enter it." He took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please remain standing as we confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. You can find this creed on the inside back cover of your hymnal. We confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We sing together our next hymn, hymn number 660. Oh, we have to stand for this hymn. You can't sing this hymn sitting down, right? Stand up for Jesus.
God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Sorry about that. I forgot that the hymn was Stand Up for Jesus, and I've sat in churches before where you're singing Stand Up for Jesus sitting down. And that just doesn't seem right to me, so I wanted to make sure that we stood for that hymn. I also apologize for wearing contrasting colors today. I usually rely on the stole of the church that I go to, so I match the pyramids, and I couldn't find a green stole this morning, so I'll just have to go with my red that I happen to have with me. This is actually a service that I did in chapel, so I see not only Katie, but Trent and Taylor Higgins as well. I shared a very similar message to this in chapel last spring, and if any of the three of you remember it, I'll be very impressed that you listened carefully in chapel at St. Paul. But the text for this sermon that I'm going to share with you is from Luke chapter 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. What I'm going to share with you happened almost exactly 10 years ago. In fact, it was 10 years ago on this past Friday. And I had the painful duty of having to announce what had happened to my congregation on this very date, 10 years ago, on a Sunday morning. As I was there in the hospital emergency room, I sincerely believed that what I prayed for was going to happen. Standing with the grieving family around the body of Mitch, a 14-year-old boy in our congregation, I would not have been surprised at all if I would have seen his eyes open. His older sister, Devin, a junior in high school, who I had known since she was in first grade, had been holding on to me and sobbing for the last 15 minutes. Just the night before, she was angry with Mitch, her little brother, when he dropped his cell phone in the toilet after going to the bathroom. And yes, that kind of going to the bathroom. And instead of reaching into that nasty toilet and getting it out himself, he yelled for her to come and do it, because it was too gross for him. Yes, she was mad at him because he should have done it himself. But she was also mad at him because the phone still worked. She never seemed to have that kind of luck. But Mitch did, all the time. And she wasn't really that mad. She thought the whole thing was funny, really. But she now realized that the last words she said to Mitch were angry words. Mitch's dad, Doug, an occasional golfing and basketball playing buddy of mine, stood stoically looking down at his son's handsome but bruised face. He and Mitch were supposed to referee a soccer game that morning, and Mitch was an unusually gifted soccer player. The sport came easily to him at a young age, and he was a star on his high school's team already as a freshman. But Mitch was running late that morning, and his dad thought it would be best if at least one ref got to the game on time, so he drove to the park without him. Mitch's older brother, Andrew, stood across the room in an embrace with Amy, Mitch's mom, while my wife Beth embraced Amy from the other side. All of them red-eyed with tear-stained faces. Mitch asked Andrew for a ride to the soccer field that morning, but Andrew felt that Mitch needed to learn a lesson because running late was what Mitch always did. Besides, the park wasn't that far and Mitch had a perfectly good bicycle. So Mitch was riding his bike probably as fast as he could without a helmet because he probably didn't want to take the time to find one and put one on. And he was less than a half mile from the soccer field when a car passed him. And coming from the other direction was a grandmother in an SUV on her way to watch her grandkids that morning. She was blinded a little by the morning sun. She waited for the car that was coming toward her to go by before turning on the street where her grandchildren lived. But she didn't see Mitch. And just like that, the life of this fun-loving, athletic, everybody's friend, 14-year-old young man came to an end. Mitch was so full of life, it seemed impossible for him to be dead. There was so much regret in that emergency room. From Andrew, if I would have just given him a ride, he'd still be alive. From Doug, if I would have just waited, who cares if the game has to start 5 minutes late? From Amy, why did I ever let him ride without a helmet? I should have insisted he wear one every time. And from Devin, why was I angry about that stupid cell phone? They knew Mitch was in heaven. There's no doubt about it. He had the courage to share his faith in a way most 14-year-olds do not. It just came naturally to him. The weekend before, the youth worker at our church had taken a group to a concert for a Christian band, and Mitch, true to his character, brought three friends along. And that's just what he did. His confirmation verse that he had received only 5 months before was, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That was Mitch. His light was always shining. In that hospital room, I was doing what a pastor should, just being there, listening, reminding them of God's promises through Christ. But I wanted to do more. I knew I served a God who had raised the dead. And I stood there looking at Mitch's body. I knew the same God who raised the dead widow's son and Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and Jesus himself could also raise Mitch from the dead. I didn't just think it, I knew it. So I prayed, silently. I didn't want to look weird in front of everybody else, but I prayed. I prayed in my heart with all the sincerity and all the spiritual effort I could give. I prayed so fervently I felt physically tired. I prayed that God would bring him back. I expected to see his eyes flutter at any moment. I can honestly say I don't think it would have surprised me. But Mitch's eyes stayed shut. His body stayed motionless. His family kept grieving. The hospital staff kept coming in and out doing whatever it is that they were doing. A few days later was the funeral. Over 600 people were in our church that could hold 450. Many were Mitch's high school friends. Some were Christians, some were not. They all heard about Jesus Christ. He also died an untimely death. He did it willingly for our sakes, because without his death, there is no other way that we could be saved. Did his mother at the cross pray for him to come back to life? Did the other women and the disciple John also join hands in prayer? Did they expect to see him come down from the cross or have his eyelids flutter back open after the soldiers pronounced him dead? His eyes, too, stayed closed, at least for a while. You would think, wouldn't you, that the window of opportunity for someone to rise from the dead would be soon after death, before decay sets in, before modern funeral practices like embalming. Surely a day later would be too late, although there was that one guy named Lazarus who had been dead for 4 days when Jesus raised him. Yet at the time God appointed, when Jesus predicted, his eyes did open in the dark of the tomb. His body did not stay motionless. He rose from the dead, showing his power over death. And for all who trust in him, death is a doorway into a better, fuller life, and where there are no accidents that end a life, where there is no end of any kind. The life to come is so much better than this one that even a young person like Mitch, who had everything going for him, cute, athletic, the kind of person everybody likes, is still better off in heaven than here. I thought maybe that's why God wouldn't let him come back to life, so all these people could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And indeed, after Mitch's funeral, there was a group of his friends who started coming around to the house just to talk to his mom, Amy. The way the whole family dealt with the tragedy made an impression on them, and one of them was a boy named Cody. He and Amy had many talks. It didn't happen overnight, but Cody eventually became a believer in Jesus Christ. It was only a few months later that Cody was hit by a car while rollerblading. He and Mitch are hanging out in heaven now. Mitch would be 24 years old. Why did that happen? Maybe that was the only chance Cody would have. His parents were not believers. Almost none of the people he hung around with believed. Amy tried to get him to come to church, but he didn't really want to. He just wanted to hear about Jesus from her. It seemed real to him, coming from her. A faith had ignited in his heart, but it was a fragile faith. Maybe it wasn't going to be there for very long. And more than anything else, God wanted Cody, and he wants us all in heaven with him. Whether you grow up to be successful or rich or well-known, or whether you're a doctor or a teacher or a farmer, whether you have 11 kids or 3 dogs and a guinea pig, all of that stuff is fine with God. But what he wants most of all for us is to be with him. And he will do whatever it takes to make that happen. He proved that with Jesus on the cross. I think back to that tear-filled time with Mitch's family in the hospital room when I labored in prayer for him to come back to life, and I probably wasn't the only one. I thought of Jesus in a different way than I ever had before, because I imagined what that room would be like if Mitch did come back to life. Can you imagine it? If you've ever lost a loved one and you have been in a hospital room like that, you probably can. I know there would have been tears streaming down my face because I cry for happy things. And that's what Jesus was able to give to that man's mother in our Bible reading, and to his friends and other family members who were all a part of that funeral procession. We picture Jesus kind of serious most of the time. Don't you think he got a huge kick out of that? Their sadness turned to joy instantly. And I thought, that's what God gets to do. Thousands of times every day when someone who believes in Jesus Christ dies and goes from this world to heaven because of faith in their hearts, he gets to raise them back to life and reunite them with parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends and children. What joy must be in the heart of God. And you can do that for people. You can't raise them from the dead, but you know the one who can. You can introduce them to Jesus, the one who raises the dead, who turns sorrow into joy. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Lord Jesus, there is a lot of sorrow in this world. Every single person in this building right now has experienced it in some way. And yet we are here because we know the hope that we have in you. We know the one who has in the past turned the sorrow of many into joy. And we know the joy that we have in you because of the hope of eternal life that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to trust in him ourselves and point others to him as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise you and adore you for the fact that you are a loving and forgiving God. You could have left us as our sins deserved and turned from us, and yet that is not your character. Your character is one of love and desire for us to spend eternity with you. And we give you praise and honor for that. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, help us to be truly sorry for those things that we have done wrong, for those sins that we have committed against you and one another. And yet, Lord, help us to also know that we have received forgiveness of those sins, and not to dwell on those past mistakes, but learn from them and grow in our ability to love you and one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, help us to be quick to give thanks to you for all of the many blessings that we have received from your hand, knowing that everything that we have belongs to you. We give you thanks, especially as the Old Testament reading pointed out today, for the amazing creation that you have made in human beings. All your other creation is also amazing and awe-inspiring, but what you have done to create human beings is, in your image, is something that we need to truly honor. And help us to do that, not only being thankful for the creation in each one of us, but also thankful for your creation in every person that we meet. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we also thank you that you give us the ability to pray, and you call upon us to pray, often more often than we are ready to pray. And so especially we pray for those who are in need in this congregation, for Pat Duffy, for Nancy McCage, for Sharon Swopes, and Carol Thurman. And Lord, we add to those prayers as well Kim Skeel, who is having a heart procedure, a friend of Darlene Dotson. For these and any others that we can think of who are in need of your strength and help, and also for others who are on our prayer list that are known to you and that we might name silently in our hearts now. We lift them up to you, trusting that you are the one who has the power to help them in all of their needs. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, Lord, we thank you for this great privilege to be able to receive your sacrament that you offer to each one of us. So as we receive your body and blood, as we know that you are present with us here in this place, help us to be strengthened by it, to live in love and faith, in faith toward you and in love toward one another. Lord, in your mercy, all these prayers we bring before you, knowing that you hear us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. On page 208 in the front of your hymnal is where the service of the sacrament continues. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In these last days you have poured out your Holy Spirit on your church, that your sons and daughters might proclaim the wonders of your salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your gathered people, that faithfully eating and drinking the body and blood of your Son, we may go forth to proclaim his salvation to the ends of the earth. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." May the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. We sing together our final hymn, hymn number 687.